We praise the Lord's name. We will stand up straight and strong. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning to Oak Forest United Methodist Church. If you're a visitor, we particularly welcome you. Let's turn our attention to some of our announcements. This week's agenda, Tuesday is the Bible study at Gwinnell's house. Okay. Okay, did everybody hear that? There is no Bible study Tuesday night. And is that in until further notice, or is that just this week? Okay.
We'll resume next week.
Okay, good. Wednesday, the Acts 29 Lunch Bunch will be meeting at Carlotta's this week. That's at what time at noonish?
Noon.
Celebrate Recovery is Wednesday evening at 6. And there will be no choir practice again until August the 1st, unless we do really bad, and then we might have to change that. But we'll see. Men of Honor at 8, Friday morning. Next Saturday is the 100th birthday of Ruth Penland. That is in Swannanoa. It's a drop-in from 2 to 4. Sue Scott is going to have a crash course in introductory sign language. If you're interested in that, there's her numbers. We appreciate that, Sue. So her cell number and her home number. Let her know if you would like to do that. There's a little different Stillwater Landings announcement this week. They're roofing the house, I guess, and so they're not going to be opening there. But if you want products from the Stillwater's Landing Farm, they will be here July the 7th at 11, I guess, for sausage and maybe eggs, okay? And they're asking for prayers for Bill and Liz Keene's family. Bill and Liz were longtime members of this church until they had to move back to Florida because of Bill's health. And Bill passed away this week, so keep them in your prayers. And if you want to send condolences, their address is in the bulletin. You'll see in the box the notice for all the recovery and support ministries in the community. And I would like to say thank you to the ladies that cooked the men's breakfast this morning. That was very nice. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll have our processional hymn.
Thank you.
here every week carrying things that God does not intend for me to carry. And the Lord wants to alleviate me of that burden. And we call that confession and forgiveness. And so whatever it is that you are carrying in this week that is burdening you down, things that you did that you knew you shouldn't have done, good that you knew you should have done and you left it undone, and that enemy whispers words of condemnation in your ear, we name those to the Lord, who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and always ready to show us mercy. That's our prayer of confession in the silence. Then we pray a corporate prayer of confession together. And then we're going to pray for somebody sitting close to us, because we all need prayer today. Amen? So if you would, take a moment, get to know somebody beside you. If you don't know their name, share a name. Don't leave anybody out, and figure out how we can pray for each other today. Hey, brother. Good morning. I'm glad y'all are here. Good. How do I pray for you today? Concerns for the family. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, pray for me that I think God is like leading the church in a time of renewal and reform, and that's going to take courage from our leaders and from people like me. So just pray that God would help me to be courageous and vigilant. Okay. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let's enter into this time of silence together, naming the things to the Lord we need forgiveness of. Let us pray. Oh Lord, only a short time ago, we were scattered about this community doing our own thing. But like a good shepherd, Jesus, you have gathered us here so that we might not do our thing, but we might do your thing. So hear us, unite our voices, and pray this prayer of confession, saying, I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own fault, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. And I ask you, my brothers and sisters, pray for me to the Lord our God. Lord, hear us pray for our prayer partner. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Hear the good news, the way St. Paul said it, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This to prove God's love toward us. So in the name of Jesus Christ, you are all forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Today at Hickory Stand, instead of a glory to God, we had a visitor came, and he let out a big hoot when I named it, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. He said, woo! And I said, you know, some Sundays that matters more than other Sundays. Those who are forgiven much rejoice much, I suppose. So let us rejoice. Let us stand and become God's singing people, singing, I love to tell the story.
Jesus and his love, I love to We're going to sing that old, old story of a king who is coming to reign. Let's sing, sing to me.
What today is? I got a Sunday, that's right. And not just any Sunday, what Sunday? That's right. Today is Father's Day. Did y'all know that already? Yeah. Did you wish your daddy's happy Father's Day? No. Yes. Okay. Do you know who proclaimed? We're going to do history. I know y'all are out of school. But do you know who proclaimed Father's Day? No? Well, I'm going to tell you. Richard Nixon in 1972 proclaimed Father's Day. Now, do you know why that's kind of weird to me? Because 58 years before that, Richard Nixon did Father's Day. Woodrow Wilson declared Mother's Day. So Mother's Day was around 58 years before they said, well, let's do a day to honor the fathers. I thought that was kind of cool, yeah. So happy Father's Day to our fathers. And then I want to talk a little bit about an object. When you think about the Bible and you think about how Jesus used objects in the Bible, what kind of objects did Jesus use to teach us things? He used a fisher's net, a fish net. A what? He used fish. He used bread. He used what? A basket. I have a list, and I thought I would remember them all. He used fruit. He used a vineyard. He used sheep. So Jesus used a lot of objects to teach us things, didn't he? Now, if you thought about your father or whoever the man in your life that's a father figure, because a lot of us have those, can you think about an object that they all have in common? I'm going to give you a hint. Duct tape. No. Not just any tape. This is duct tape.
No.
No, it is not. That is a good question. That's a great question. But you know why it got the name duct tape? Because you got an idea there. Because they used it back in the war to put it on boats so that water wouldn't get into the boats. So they would patch up a hole, right? So kind of like water rolls off of a duck's back, water rolled off of the duct tape. So you were close. That's actually a good guess. Now, I asked my husband last night, who is the king of duct tape, how many uses that you can use it for. So we're thinking about objects, right? So he uses it in heating and air. He uses it, if you get in Wayne's truck, you're going to notice that you sit on duct tape because he has patched his seat with duct tape. He patched holes with a tent, in a tent. You can mark on walls where you want to hang pictures with duct tape. This is one of my favorites, being a nurse. He's used it as a Band-Aid. You could use it to patch pants. You could use it to patch a hole in your glove. One of the biggest things that he uses it for, now I promise y'all I'm not joking, both of his trucks, this is his drink holder. That is how he holds his drinks in his trucks. So if you don't have a drink holder in your vehicle, this works just fine. So we've got duct tape everywhere in our house and in our trucks. But why I brought up duct tape is because God has called men to be a little bit like duct tape. There's that patching and there's that adhering that it does. And he's asked us to adhere to his word. Yes? So when you see duct tape, when you see your dad, even your mom use it, because I use it on, not as a Band-Aid, but I do use duct tape. Just think about the adherence and that Jesus has used different objects to teach us things. Okay? Now, if y'all gather around, we're going to have a prayer. When we get done, we're going to go downstairs for children's church, and I'm going to go with you, okay? And I have a treat for you, but you can't have it until after church.
So children, go to the back. We have children's church downstairs for a moment. As we get ready to hear God's word read through the scriptures and proclaimed through the sermon, we recognize that if we are going to hear words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, we need to have minds that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And what I love about this line of thought is maybe if we hear inspired words enough, we come to live inspiring lives. That's the great goal of the scriptures, is to encounter us with a God that will inspire us to live inspiring lives. So I invite you to pray the prayer of illumination today. It will be on the screen. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, today's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Daniel. We're going to be in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. And so they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the golden statue that I have made? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and the entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it
Good morning. I want to take a moment to thank the choir and Anthony and Kathy and Valerie Bernhardt for all of the people that I'm not mentioning. As Randy Harry, our district superintendent, refers to them, the secret service in the church. And as he puts it, without them, there would be no church. And there's so many of you that make so many contributions. I was just looking at the beautiful flowers, and I know who did those without even asking. And just so many touches. The acolytes, I just thank you so much for being church and making worship come. It's a wonderful place to come and worship. And I want to thank all of the fathers for being here today and for being in church with your children. That's an awesome, awesome thing. As we begin to look at the scripture and the sermon, I would ask you to focus on the fact that we all have a heavenly Father. We've had from the beginning, we have now, and He will lead us home. And I'm beginning in the first chapter of Joshua, and you are welcome to follow along. It's on the screen, or if you have your Bible and you want to use that, you're welcome to use that as well. After Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died, the Lord spoke to Nun's son Joshua, announcing to him, "My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross the Jordan River, you and all the people, to the land that I'm giving to the Israelites. I'm giving you every place where the sole of your foot falls, just as I promised Moses. Your territorial border will extend from the wilderness to the Lebanon Mountains to the river, that great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the Mediterranean Sea, where the sun sets. No one will be victorious against you for the rest of your life. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. I'll neither fail you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, because you'll be leading this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Only be strong and very courageous to ensure that you obey all the instructions that my servant Moses gave you. Turn neither to the right nor to the left from it, so that you may succeed wherever you go. This set of instructions is not to cease being a part of your conversations. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to carry out everything that's written in it. For then you'll prosper and succeed. I've commanded you, haven't I? Be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged, because the Lord your God, your heavenly Father, is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua gave orders to the officials of the people. "Go through the camp," he said, "and command the people. Prepare provisions for yourself, because within 3 days you'll be crossing the Jordan River to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So go get it." And from Revelations, 21st chapter, the 9th verse, and pay attention to this verse. I would be willing to bet most of you have never heard it before. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars. They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The word of God for the people of God. And will you please join me as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to our Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In 1945, a man named Branch Rickey knocked on a church door in New York City. A pastor opened the door. This man found a pew and he began to pray. It was obvious he was struggling as he wrestled through prayer, and the minutes and the hours went on. The pastor watched and he waited, and the man continued to pray. And after 4 hours in prayer, that man stood up. He walked out of that church. He went back to his office and he called Jackie Robinson. And he signed him on as the first black man on a professional major league team. He changed the course of history. Do any of you remember that this man's name was Branch Rickey? How many of you have heard of Branch Rickey? Very few. Way to go. Okay, let me give you another one for you. Guess what his first name is? Wesley. Guess where he went to college? Ohio Wesleyan University. Guess what denomination Branch Rickey was a member of? Yeah, you got it. He was a man of great courage. He was the forefather. He was a father, by the way. But he was the forefather of the civil rights movement by hiring Jackie Robinson. And I tripped over the verse from Revelations a few years ago, and I was stunned. Revelations 21:9. Oh, you know, we know the vile, we know the sexually immoral, we know the idolaters, we know where they're headed. But cowards? Cowards are the first in line for hell? I didn't know that. I had no idea. I didn't even know cowardice was a sin. I was stunned. Unarguably, in this scripture today from Joshua, God is telling Joshua to tell the Israelites who have just lost their leader Moses to turn from their fear and take heart. Be courageous. They had been promised the promised land, yet here they were still stuck in the desert. They had been wandering around for some part of 40 years until all of the peers of Moses had died except Joshua and Caleb. And suddenly God, their father, had said to them through Joshua, "Arise, my people, arise, take heart and thrive in the land that God has promised you." But there was fine print in those directions. And we know the difficulty of fine print. First, God said, before you get the promised land, you must cross the River Jordan. And I want you to think about that for a minute. According to theologians, it was the rainy season of the year when the Israelites faced the Jordan River. It was overflowing its boundaries. It looked a lot like Lake Chattoog a few weeks ago, except they didn't have a good dam like we have. And these folks had been where for almost 40 years? You got it, a desert. How many of them do you think knew how to swim? How many of them do you think had bathing suits? How many of them had floaties? This is a major Jordan River, and they've never faced anything like it before. Two people remembered Moses and God parting the Red Sea. Everybody else was gone. So let's go back to that fine print. Be strong and courageous, because you'll be leading the people to inherit the land that I promised their ancestors. Be strong and follow the instructions I gave to Moses. Ten Commandments? We have quite a bit more in our Bible today. Follow the Word of God is what God the Father was saying to his people. And then he continued with, meditate on it day and night. Do not cease talking about it in your conversations. Amazing. As we read back into the scripture and we see the mighty River Jordan that they were facing, and we know that God has told them, hang on to my word, hang on to my instructions, and then he gave them a promise. The most important reason why the Israelites were to be courageous was because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So how does our Father's word to Joshua apply to us? Be courageous. Pastor Brian read the scripture from Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine how terrified they were facing that fiery furnace? And I have to tell you that I used to spend the night with my friend Diana, which is Anita Lance's sister. And when we'd get ready to go to bed, Anita would yell, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. I almost cannot say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to say, to bed we go, every time I get to it. It's cool, Anita. I've never forgotten that. They were terrified. They had good reason to be. But they refused to give up their values. They refused to turn from their Heavenly Father. So as we go, Father, and we think about our own lives, many, many times we face a River Jordan. Not once, not twice, but over and over. And it seems to be quite often impossible. And quite often, I don't know where my floaties are either. Fear is a very natural response to an unexpected or abnormal situation. You can no more stop having fear than you can stop breathing. It is normal. It is very much like pain, a warning that something is wrong and that you need to act. But when fear immobilizes us, or when it makes us fear other people and hate them because of the color of their skin or their language or their origin, that is when fear turns to cowardice. The God of Moses, the God of Joseph, is just as real with you today when you face your River Jordan as it was with them. And you know they made it to the Promised Land. There is a new, beautiful contemporary Christian song called Fear, It Is a Liar. And here are some of the lyrics. Whoops. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire, 'cause fear, he is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'd forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'd never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Cast your fear in the fire, 'cause fear, he is a liar. And finally, remember that Satan's favorite tactic is fear. He wants you scared. He wants you immobilized. He wants you to believe that your God has forsaken you. I remember a day 5 years ago when I had been in the hospital for 4 months and still was, and I'm looking at Amy, who saw me withering away in front of her eyes. I was sound asleep in Asheville in the hospital on a Saturday morning, and a doctor that I had never seen before walked into the room. And he said, "Hello, I'm Dr. Ryan. You will never eat or drink again, and you most likely will not survive." I think it would be safe to say that I was not just afraid, I was terrified. And I knew I needed God, and I needed God to act. And I knew I needed prayer. I called my friend Terry Hager. I called our pastor then, Jacob Kiker. And the word went out, please pray. And you prayed. You prayed, God heard, and God answered. I'm eating, I'm drinking, I'm walking. It's a low bar, as Tim Moore says. But I'm moving. And it is only through your prayers and the power of our Heavenly Father that I stand here today at all. The following year, after I left the hospital, it wasn't an instantaneous recovery. But the following year, I went to my gastroenterologist, and I was the only person in the waiting room. And he walked out into the waiting room, and the man turned as white as a sheet. And I knew he thought I had died. So the couple of weeks later, I was at my pulmonologist, and he was my warrior. He was my warrior doctor. He was the one that read my file that was, as he called it, like reading War and Peace. And he read it about 20 times, and he came up with about 15 different diagnoses that all fell apart at the end. But I went to him, and he said to me, well, here you been to your gastro guy. And I said, yes. He thought I was dead. He said, I know. I got his notes. And in his notes, he said, I thought I saw a ghost. And then he took my hand, and he smiled at me, and he said, honey, there are people that when they leave the hospital, we don't expect to ever see them again. And you would be in that category. And then he held my hand a little bit tighter, and he smiled a little bit more, and he said, honey, you had unfinished business. Well, I'm here to tell you that your Heavenly Father has unfinished business for you. Take heart, God says. Be courageous, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go, even through every river Jordan you meet. Meditate on the word of God. Pray and scatter your seed. I heard this wonderful sermon last week on this very scripture. And the pastor during it said, you know, we think our stories don't matter. But he said, all we're doing is scattering seed. He said, all people want to know is what you were like before you knew God, what you're like after you know God. How did he change your life? He also said that an adult must hear the gospel 6 times before they will accept, on average, Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You think your story doesn't matter? Maybe your story is number 2. Maybe your story is number 4. But somebody's going to be number 6 because God's in charge. And if we are faithful and courageous, and we scatter that seed, he will save. In the Old Testament, a country was judged by the way they treated the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. We too will be. We're living in a time of great division. You, church, I believe with all my heart, are called to arise, the bride of Christ, to arise and to tell the old, old story and your story. Scatter your seed, and in so doing, bring this country to its knees with lifted hands. We are the force that has the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God doesn't have a plan B. Jesus left the good news in the hands of flawed disciples. I'm pretty flawed. I fit the flawed disciple part. We're his messengers today. He's depending on us. Stand strong. Be courageous. Move, if only step by step, through your fear and through your Jordan River. Hang on to the word of God. Scatter your seed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So I think we have a song, a music video that's going to play. And Pastor Gwinnell has brought us all pocket crosses. because the cross is the greatest sign of courage that we have. We remember that it was Joshua, in the book of Joshua, that God first said, you got to be brave and courageous. If you're going to do this thing that God has called you to do, if you're going to lead the people into the promised land, you will have to be brave and courageous. And so Jesus' name is Yeshua. He was named after Joshua. Jesus is the one that will lead his people to the kingdom of God. And to do that, it will require him to be brave and courageous. That Jesus must go all the way to hell, to death, battling Satan and powers and principalities, and come out on the other side, living, and be ascended to the right hand of the Father. It requires courage. And so it is for us as Christians. And I would challenge you that if your faith is not requiring you to be courageous, maybe take a look at your faith, because it may not be the faith of Jesus Christ. So today, Pastor Gwinnell wants to hand out crosses that we can keep in our pocket to remind us of God's call for us to be brave and courageous. There will be a song playing called Courageous. There's a music video of it. And I invite you to come, Andrew, and I think Morgan are going to hand out crosses and a piece of paper. But come and receive this cross so that you might hold on to it for courage.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous, Lord, make us courageous. This is our resolution, our answer to the call.
So since today is Father's Day, our prayers to the people are going to be a little bit different today, the same way they were on Mother's Day. So we're going to offer up petitionary prayers for men in our lives who have been an influence for our fathers. May they be already passed on or be present in our life. And so because the church is a place where family is ever expanding, we know that we have spiritual fathers who have poured into our life and shared the gospel with us. And so as the prayers of the people go, I invite you just to pray accordingly. Even you can pray silently or just name out the names of men in your life who have been this sort of father figure, or other men in your life that need prayer as the prayers lead us. And then, the same way we did on Mother's Day, where I had the men stand up and pray a blessing over the women, well, this time the women will stand up and pray a blessing over the men that will lead us into the Lord's Prayer. You'll see it when it's on the screen. So let us enter into a time of prayer. Lord, hear us pray for our fathers who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love. We pray to the Lord. For Baxter. Today we pray for fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them. We pray to the Lord. For Steve, for Kaylee. For men, though without children of their own, who like fathers have nurtured and cared for us, we pray to the Lord. For Edgar. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, we pray to the Lord. Now I would invite the ladies to stand and pray a blessing and lead us into the Lord's Prayer. God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Are there praises and thanksgivings that we have today that you'd like to share? Perry.
I'd like to thank the Congregation and Missionary Council for giving me the opportunity to be the lay leader delegate for the conference coming up this week. Please be in prayer for me that I make good decisions for our church and for.
Indeed. That's a praise. Perry is going to be our delegate to the annual conference. This will be a fun annual conference. Pastor Gwinnell is going to be retiring, and just a couple hours after she is retiring, I'm going to be being commissioned. And it's going to be a special time, so we get to be with each other and celebrate her ministry that she's done in the church and the ministry that I'm going to be doing moving forward, but also the ministry she's going to be doing moving forward, because we all know that just because she doesn't have a license like that, she is not. She's still going to be in ministry. And so that is a praise that I have, that I get to share this moment with Gwinnell. Thank you. Thank you.
Be courageous.
Okay, I will. And this is a stole that she's given me as a gift that I can put on when I'm ordained. And I will wear it proudly. Thank you. Are there other praises today? Praise God.
And thank you.
That is a prayer. Thank you, Miss Fanny. The other praise is today. Wayne?
Memorial Day weekend, Josh and Alyssa came in. And for the last 17 days, we've had to keep a secret. And the secret is, we're going to be grandparents again.
Woo! All right. Praise God. Amen. Another praise. That's right. That is a praise too. Other praises, Miss Terry.
My grandson has been able to go on two short trips after his open heart surgery, and he's 19, so that's a praise.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Other praises today. All right, then, let's stay in this mode of praise and thanksgiving. And if I could get our ushers to come to the front, we'll worship the Lord with a time of offering. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of all good things. Today we are delighted because you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to be for us a Savior. You have poured out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we might be brave and courageous, so that we might welcome people and share our testimony, so that the world might know that Jesus lives. Through our giving, Lord, we pray that you would accomplish justice and mercy right here in our community and well beyond us, Lord. Reach out further than we could. So we offer our gifts, we offer ourselves for the sake of your mission, in the name of your Son. Amen. You stand and sing doxology. If I could get my acolyte. I want to offer a benediction, a blessing over you, and normally we sing a song and we all go out. Stephanie has a song that she wanted to offer up for Gwinnell. So receive this blessing, and then instead of running out, just go ahead and sit down. So I pray the grace and peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he sends you, that he guide you in the wilderness and protect you in the storm, that he bring you home rejoicing, always rejoicing at the wonders he show you. I pray he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Go in peace, then, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go forth and be brave. Amen.
Thank you.
see.